I'm glad he did, ain't you?
Yes, amen.
Sometimes we as wholeness people act like God owes us something. He don't owe us anything.
Amen.
He don't have to do anything. But I'm glad because he loves us, he does.
Right.
Amen. I appreciate him this morning. I'm glad for what I feel in my heart. Appreciate the singing this morning. And the testimonies have been wonderful. And I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord.
Yes.
He is worthy to be praised this morning. And we ought to thank him. We ought to praise him and give him honor. I don't want to fail in my worship. I don't want to fail to tell him that I thank him and appreciate him. I don't want to treat him like that one man did when he told his wife that he loved her and he never told her again. And she would wondered why don't you tell me you love me like other men tell their wives they love them? He said, well, I told you once, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. I don't want to do my Lord that way, do you?
Right.
Amen. Not only do I want to tell him, but I want to show him. I want to live like I love him.
And
I appreciate him this morning. If you have your Bibles, we want to read in the book of Revelation chapter 22. While you're turning there, we're glad to have Mr. Henry with us this morning. And good to have Brian with us this morning. All that's here this morning, we're glad for you being here. And I tell you, if it had been this kind of weather in South Georgia, there probably wouldn't have been church anywhere. But I reckon you're used to it, and I'm glad you are. I'm glad to see this good number out. And I believe you're here not just because you feel an obligation to be here. I believe you're here because you want to be here. And that's what makes the difference. That's what you call delighting in the Lord. Lord, I could stay home, you know, if I wanted to, but I'm going to church because I want to be there. Hope the Lord will bless you in being here this morning. Revelation chapter 22, I want to read at verses 17. We'll read to the end of the chapter, end of this book. Revelation chapter 22, verses 17 through 21. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Stop right there. That'll be all for our reading this morning. I want to preach, if the Lord would help me, on a thought I feel like he dealt with me about. I want to preach to you on the Bible's last message. The Bible's last message. There have been many books written and made available to man. Now, I don't know about you, but I love books. I love religious books. I love going to the Goodwill store and trying to find some old books that, not only because I like to read them, but hey, some of them you can find that might be worth some money. I remember some time ago, several years ago, I was at a library sale that we just happened to pass by and seen they were having it in the National Guard Armory there in a little town in South Carolina. So we whipped in, and I went in there, and it's kind of what got me started on my book hunting. I went in there, and I got to looking, and I found some old Baptist preachers' sermon books, and So I picked them up, several of them, I forget, five or six. And after I left, I called Brother Steve Gentry. And if you know Brother Steve, he is a book man. If you want to know if it's worth anything, you call him. He can let you know if it's worth anything. And so I called him up and I said, "Brother, I found this book." And I told him what the title was and I told him who the author was. He said, "Brother, if you'll pack that thing up and mail it to me, I'll send you a $100 bill right now." Oh, man, that's pretty good. Amen. But I love books, and there's many, many, many books that have been written. Some good books, some bad books. There's many self-help books, instructional books that would teach us how to do certain things. You know, how to work on cars, and how to operate computers, and, you know, what do they call those books for dummies, you know? I wish they had one of those books for pastors, you know, Pastoring for Dummies. That would help me out a little bit, amen. But there's many self-help books, and there's books that encourage, there's books that inspire hope, that offer hope to people that are hurting and going through difficult places. There's some books that are written to warn us, to cause us to become alert of what's happening around us. There's many, many different types of books. But the Word of God is the book of books. Amen. Amen. I believe, and I've said this many times, but I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. It's not just another book that some educated man begin to write because he felt inspired, but these are the words of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Amen. These are the words of the author, amen, and the finisher of our faith. The Word of God. I believe it is just that. And I believe this morning that the Word of God is infallible. Amen. It is unfailing. He said, "Heaven and earth shall what? Pass away. But my word shall not pass away." It is unfailing. Not only is the Word of God infallible, but it's unadulterated. It's pure. It's holy. The Bible says that every word of God is pure. Not only is it unadulterated, but it is alive. Amen. It is alive. This is not, amen, some book that some man wrote many years ago and he's dead in the grave. But this book, the author of this book, he still lives. Amen. Amen. He is Alpha and he is Omega. He is the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. With him, there is no beginning of days. And with him, there is no ending of days. He is eternal. The author of this book is eternal. And because he is eternal, thank God, his word is eternal. It lives. For the word of God is quick. That word quick doesn't mean fast. It means alive. The word of God is alive. Amen. It lives. It's a living word. It's not just another book. It is the book. Amen. And in this book, amen, it warns us. Amen. In this book, it encourages us. In this book, amen, it teaches us. It leads us. It guides us. Everything that we need. I believe that life's instruction book is the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you how relevant God's Word is. Amen. I'm going to tell you how sure it is that the Holy Ghost will never do anything, amen, or inspire anyone to do anything, amen, that is not within the boundaries of what God said. You said, "How can I know if it's the Spirit?" I'll tell you how you can know if it's the Spirit. If it's in the Word of God, it's okay. The Holy Ghost will bid you to do what God says in His Word. But if He ever tells you to do anything that is not contained in the Bible, then it is not the Spirit of God. Amen. I'm so glad for the Word of God. I'm thankful for the Word of God. And Brother Tim taught about this morning. It teaches us. It helps us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ain't you glad for God's Word? All scriptures given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. That word, those two words, throughly furnished, means fully equipped. That there's nothing that life will throw your way that the Word of God will not get you ready for it. Amen. That's why we need to read it every day. Amen. That's why we need to be faithful to Sunday school. There's things that's being taught that we need, to hear, that'll help us in life. Amen. That's why we need the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. That's why we need to, amen, not only read it for ourselves, but study the Word of God and hide, amen, the Word of God in our hearts, because it will equip us. Amen. It will empower us. Amen. It will keep us. Amen. It will preserve us. I'm glad for God's holy Word. Amen. I'm not going to preach everything that's in there this morning, so don't get worried. But I like to preach this morning on the Bible's last message. I mean, he says many things in scriptures. Amen, that it is necessary that we must live by these things. Amen, but in this last book of the Bible, amen, before Brother Tim, he seals the book with an amen. Amen, before the book is closed, amen, he reminds us of some things. And there's three things that I feel like the Lord has dealt with my heart to share with you this morning. Amen, that he's trying to tell us. It's almost as if he is saying, and you've heard preachers say this before, if you have never heard anything I've said, listen to me now. Don't fail to hear what I'm fixing to say. That's what God's saying. Out of everything that I've said, amen, there's three things, amen, that I want to remind you of. And the first thing, amen, that I read is he gives one more time a divine invitation. Amen. Amen. He gives us a divine invitation all through scripture. Amen. The Bible tells us over and over again that God is calling men, that God is, amen, reaching, that God is dealing, amen, that God is convicting, that he's giving a divine invitation. I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but there's a few I'd like to remind you of. Isaiah 1:18. Amen. He said, come now and let us reason together. Amen. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 55:1. He says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come ye by, yea, come by wine and milk without money and without price. Amen. Wine is symbolic of joy. He says, hey, if you'll come, I'll give you joy. Amen. Milk is symbolic of nourishment. I'll give you joy and I'll satisfy you. I'll nourish you. I'll give you what you need to live. I'll give you what you need to survive. He said, come by wine and milk without money and without price. He said in John 7:37-38, in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst. Now, if you'll study that, I may not get it just right. I meant to touch up on it, and I didn't. Amen. But I believe this was during the Feast of Tabernacles. And was it 7 days or 8 days? I can't remember. Maybe 7 days. For 6 days, that priest would stand before the people and he would pour out that pitcher of water. And as he was pouring out that pitcher of water for 6 days, he was crying out. I believe it was to the Gentile nations. Amen. Come. Amen. You can get drink. You can have some living water. You can find something to satisfy your soul. And on that seventh day, on that last day, that great day of the feast, as he poured out that water, he gave invitation to God's chosen, to the children of Israel. Amen. Come and drink. And notice what Jesus does on that last day, that great day of the feast. He stands and he says, hey, if any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. Amen. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I believe what he was saying was, all these years, every year water's poured out, and the priest says, come, 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 come. Now I have come, and I'm the water of life. And if you are thirsty, come to me, and I'll give you rivers of living water. Amen. A fountain, and I'll never run dry. I'd like to preach to you. He's still calling. He's still dealing. He's still convicting. One more time, he says, come. Then he says in verse 17 of our text, he said, and the Spirit, who's he talking about? He's talking about the Holy Ghost. I tell you, we're living in dark days. And I've wondered, Lord, what is my children going to do? How in the world? Amen. Oh, will they be saved? Amen. Will them little boys of mine get an experience? Amen. And I can hear him say one more time, amen. And the Spirit and the bride, the Spirit says come, the Holy Ghost. And I want to encourage you saints of God that's praying for your wayward loved ones. The devil says quit praying, they're not going to get in. Quit praying, they're not going to get saved. Amen. Quit praying, they'll never dodge the doors of them church, of this church. They'll never go down to the altar. They'll never pray and get saved. But oh, he said the Holy Ghost is still calling. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is still dealing and drawing. Not only is the Holy Ghost saying come, but the bride, the church, is saying come. Amen. Come. The door is open. God's opened a door of hope in the valley of Achor. God's made a way of escape out of your sin. One more time, God said come. And the Spirit and the bride say come. And let him that heareth. You know what I hear? Amen. With the ear of faith, I hear the Holy Ghost calling men. They don't know it. They don't realize what it is. Preacher, I don't know what's going on. Everything's falling apart. I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through. I just don't understand it. I tell you what it is. It's the Holy Ghost calling. And I hear him. Amen. Amen. I hear a church. Amen. That's calling. I hear moms and dads. Amen. That's trying to grab. Amen. The attention of their children and tell them, hey, he still loves you. He still desires to save you. Amen. Oh, I hear saints of God. Amen. That's, amen. As God inspires them. And as God moves them, as they're witnessing to people in the grocery store and people that work beside of them, what are they saying? Come, 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 come. The Spirit and the bride say come. Amen. Let him there and say come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. He says come. Before he closes the book, I hope y'all get that this morning. Before he says the last amen, he says one more time, come. Amen. Oh, don't you hear the love? Don't you feel the love when you read him calling? After all these years he has called, and still men refuse, and still men reject. And yes, there will come a day that he will not call. Amen. God forbid it ever happens with anybody here. Amen. But thank God he's still dealing. Thank God he's still calling. Thank God he's still drawing. Amen. If you're lost this morning, amen, I would to God, amen, that you would answer that great call to come to a Savior that's able to give you rest, that's able to give you peace. And to those that are praying for wayward loved ones, amen, don't lose hope. He's still dealing. He's still drawing. He's still convicting men of their sin. Not only does he give them divine invitation. But the Bible says he gives them a divine warning. Notice he covers it all, Brother Gerald. First he said in verse 18, "For I testify unto every man," and I may be all over the road this morning, but this is just the way the Lord gave it to me. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the saying of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto them," he said, "him God will add the plagues that are written in this book." And you know what he's doing? Oh, God, help me preach this morning. Amen. He's reaching to those that are to the far right. Amen. Those that are legalistic in their ideas and their doctrines and their beliefs. And he's saying, amen, if you try to add to, amen, what I require in my word, amen, then there will be plagues added unto you. Amen. Amen. There will be punishments. Amen. There will be a reaping. Amen. That you don't want to experience. I read over in Matthew 23 and 4 where the Bible said, Jesus, concerning the religious people of that day, he said, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne." Amen. "And they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one finger." I read where they accused the disciples of being devils because they didn't wash their hands, amen, according to the ceremony that they expected. Amen. Amen. And Jesus looked at them and he said, "You wipe and wash the outward, but on the inside there's dirty, there's filth, amen, there's, amen, defiling and pollution in your life." Amen. They made a doctrine out of washing hands. They made a doctrine out of everything they could think of. Amen. They took the word of God and they carried it to another level. You know what they were saying when they were requiring more out of men than what God expected? They were saying, "God, your word ain't straight enough. Your word ain't pure enough. Your word ain't holy enough. So we're going to tighten it up and we're going to make it a little stricter than what you did." I tell you, it's a dangerous thing, amen, to add to God's word. God don't care whether or not you drink a Mountain Dew. Man. And I'm glad he don't. Glory to God. Woo! Amen. There's got to be Mountain Dew in heaven. I tell you, there's got to be. Amen. Amen. God don't care. Amen. Concerning some of them, I want to be really careful because I don't want to offend anybody. But you better be careful what kind of convictions you're trying to push off on somebody else. Amen. There's... oh, Lord, help me right here. Amen. There's some that argue whether it ought to be up or down. Amen. And then I've got my own ideas about that. But you know what I say? Amen. Don't make it look like the world and keep the scissors out of it. And if you want to wear it up, praise God. If you want to wear it down, hey, don't matter to me. Amen. Just keep the scissors out and don't make it look like the world. Amen. But they some and condemn you over that. Amen. They'd say you ain't holiness. Amen. Over something like that. Amen. You know what they're doing? They're adding to. Amen. They're putting a burden on. Amen. Listen. Our children ain't going to hardly understand what God does require at times. And then we try to take it further than what God said. I'm trying to make you understand. It's a, what, brother, amen, brother, amen, Lord, help me right here. Brother Leon Buzzard said it don't matter, amen, if you're too far to the right or if you're too far to the left. Either way, you're in the ditch, amen. And I don't want to take it so far and pull it down so tight that my children feel like, amen, if I do a little certain thing, that even though the Bible isn't clear about it, I'm backslid. I don't want them to feel that way. I tell you, church, it's dangerous. Some of our ideas that we have preached and promoted, I'm afraid God says, you add it to. You understand me this morning? You add it to it. Amen. You add it to it. Amen. You add it to it. He said, if you add to it. I read where Jesus, and I'll quote a part of these scriptures Friday night. He said, "The Spirit speaketh expressly. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits." Automatically, what we think of is people compromising. But that ain't what he dealt with when he said that. He didn't say, after he talked about these seducing spirits, that they would talk you into doing things you shouldn't do. Amen. They would talk you into compromising and letting down on your standard. Amen. That ain't what he said. He said, when he said these scriptures, when he spoke these words, he was dealing with legalists. He said, you know what they're doing? They're forbidding to marry. We know what the Bible says about that. Amen. If a man finds a virtuous wife, he's found a good thing. Amen. It's good to marry. Amen. Thank God. Amen. And we got some young couple, a young couple here, probably some more, probably not too far off. Amen. They're going to be tied the knot. Amen. Let me say, when it's tied, it's tied. You can't untie it. Amen. Amen. But they were forbidden to marry. Amen. They were making a Amen. You can't get married. That ain't what the Bible said. God said that marriage is honorable. Amen. But they made a doctrine out of Amen. Not only that, they said they commanded men to abstain from meats which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. What's he saying? Amen. They said you can't eat this and you can't eat that. God said I created it. I sanctified it. And what I call unclean, or what I call clean, don't you call unclean. Amen. They was carrying it to another level. Let me warn you, if you have legalistic tendencies, you better be careful. Amen. God said there's a judgment upon such as do that. I ain't got time to get into all of that stuff. I don't need to. But you understand what I'm trying to say this morning. You better be careful. If you add two, he said, I will add the plagues unto you. Am I in the Bible, church? But then he gives us another warning. He gives us a warning to those that are liberal in their tendencies. He says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. And out of the holy city. And, amen, from the things which are written in this book. What's he saying? Amen, if you're trying to. Hey, I read it one place. Where, I don't know if it was one of the scribes or whoever it was. And one of the kings of Israel. I can't remember which one. Maybe Jehoiakim. And Jeremiah sent the parchment in. And they read the parchment in the ears of the king. And that man that was there, the Bible said, I think his name was Jehudi. Amen. He took a penknife and he cut that scroll in pieces and threw it in the fire. No doubt it was by command of the king. No doubt it was the king that said, do this. Listen, we may not have taken the book and disregarded it, amen, completely. But if we're not careful, you know what we'll do? We'll take little parts that we agree with, and we'll preach it, and we'll testify about it, and we'll condemn people that don't line up with it. But then there's other parts, amen, that God says, I require of you, and I don't see it that way. Amen. I interpret that different. Amen. I don't think God expects that out of me, amen, today. And so we pick and choose. If we agree with this part of the Bible, it's the Word of God. If we don't, amen, then we kind of disregard that. I tell you, church, you better be careful. Amen. If you take away, if you listen, amen. Amen. Listen, the legalists, they take it to a degree and say, God, your word ain't good enough. Amen. But the liberals say, God, amen, you're asking too much. You're expecting too much. Amen. I read where he said, every word of God is pure. Not one jot nor one tittle will pass away. And listen, when you take away from it, amen, and just because it hits your lifestyle and condemns your sin, you better not disregard the word of God. If you allow, amen, for things to go undone that the scripture says you must do, you're taken away. God said it's to be long. Amen. And I don't think there's anybody in here doing it. But if there is, you listen to this preacher. He said a woman's long hair is given to her for a cover. When is it short? When you snip any little bit off of it, yes, sir. It is not as long as God intended for it to be. But preacher, if I cut the dead ends off, it'll grow longer. I don't care what'll happen. Amen. If you don't let nature, does not nature teach you? Amen. If you don't let nature have its course and you trim even one little bit, amen, you're no different than that woman that goes to the barbershop and gets her hair cut off just as short as mine. Amen. Can you imagine that? Amen. There's some of them doing it, maybe not on top, but on the sides. You know what I'm saying? Amen. I'm telling you, amen, don't take away. And what he said that, amen, if there's any contention concerning that, we have no such custom. That ain't what he was saying. He said, if there's some contention about this issue, let me clarify, the only custom we have is that nature teach you that you're to have long hair. Amen. And there is no alternative. He's not giving an excuse for you to go cut your hair. He's not giving you an excuse to dress immodest and improper and ungodly. You better be careful and not take away from the word of God. When you take away, amen, the play, he said, your part will be taken out of the book of life. I don't want to be a legalist. And I don't want to be a liberal. Amen. Are y'all understanding me? God's given us one more warning, one more time. Don't you add to, and don't you take away. Brother A.G. Salter said, he told me one time, he said, Brother Jamie, he said, there's enough in this Bible that it will take you a lifetime. And you'll never fully live up to it. You got to strive to. Amen. Amen. You don't need to add to what God's already said. And we certainly don't need to take away. It's about like that man that was carrying his cross. And I need to hurry up. He was carrying his cross. And it got a little too heavy. So he cut a little bit off. Amen. And he carried a little while longer. And it got heavy again. And he cut a little more off. And he cut a little more off. But when he come to the great cross. And amen, Brother Gerald. He threw that old cross that was meant to be a bridge. Amen. That he could cross that great gulf. Amen. It was not long enough. I said it was not long enough because he cut away and took off. Amen. It was too, you say it's too heavy, preacher. I can't live in that strain. I tell you can. If you get saved, you can. If God changes, you can't live this way with an unconverted heart. But when God changes your heart, he'll take the want to for sin out and he'll give you a want to live right and live holy and live pure. Don't you take away. Don't you take away. Young folks, when preachers preach about things that you may be doing, fashions and styles that are detrimental. Amen. Listen, now I don't want to sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth this morning. There's some things that the Bible doesn't just come right out and say you're not to do. He don't tell us that you're not supposed to smoke cigarettes. He doesn't say thou shalt not smoke cigarettes. Amen. But he did say we're the temple of God. And he said that if we defile the temple, amen, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. We're not. Amen. One man said it's not that which going into a mouth that defileth the man, but that which cometh out. I like what one preacher said. Well, if that's the case, hold that smoke in. Amen. If that's the case, don't spit that backer juice out. Amen. Swallow it. Amen. If that's the case, it's not that which goeth into the man that defileth, but that which cometh out. Amen. That's pretty good, ain't it? I agree. Amen. But I won't say don't chew tobacco, but we know we ought not do it. Amen. And you say, well, brother, the Bible says you ain't supposed to overeat. Amen to that. God help me. Praise God. The Bible tells us there's certain things. Amen. He don't give us the he don't distinctly say don't do this, but there is a principle, amen, that he has established in his word. The Bible don't say thou shalt not watch television, but they did teach us that we're not to set any wicked thing before our eyes. He
He did tell us that we are not to, amen, let anything that would grieve His Spirit, amen, or violate His Word, amen, to find a resting place in our hearts. And the eyes is the window to the soul. And we better guard our hearts. We better guide our guard, our eyes and our hands and our feet. He may not just say, don't do this, but there is a principle that is established in the Word of God that He says, if you violate that principle, you're taken away from My Word.
Amen. I got to move on. Y'all looking at me funny this morning. A divine warning. A divine warning. Amen. And then, let me leave you with this. He gives us a divine reminder. Many times He tells us, amen, in the book of Matthew, let me read it to you. He said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but My Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He said, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and he knew not until the flood came and took them all away. He said, two shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. What you talking about? He's talking about when Jesus comes again. Do y'all still believe He's coming? Amen. He said that wicked and slothful servant says, the Lord has delayed His coming. So he goes to living loose and slack like he did before he got saved. I don't want to be that way, do you? Amen. He said, two women shall be grinding in the meal. The one shall be taken and the other left. I believe it's going to happen just like that. He said, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man coming. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I tell you, church, amen, for those that are ready, it's a blessed hope. To those that are not, it's going to be the worst day of their lives. Amen. Oh yes, the Lord's coming back. In fact, three times in this one chapter before He sealed the book with an amen, three times He said in verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and My reward is with Me to give every man according as his work shall be. And again, 20, he which testified these things said, surely I come quickly. I want to remind you, church, the Lord's coming. Jesus is coming. Amen. I said the Lord is coming. The devil has taken a message of hope and a message of encouragement, and he causes men not to preach about the coming of the Lord because there's so much division and disagreement about when and how.
Yeah.
It ain't important when He's coming.
No.
It ain't important how He's coming.
Right.
Just know He's coming.
Amen.
And you need to be ready. Amen. He's saying to the unsaved, get ready. I'm fixing to close. Amen. Amen. Brother Jonathan, get us a song this morning. He's saying to the unsaved, get ready. I'm coming back. You better be ready, for in such an hour as you think not. He said it morning, or at even, at midnight, in the morning, at the cock crowing. Doesn't say which watch in the night He's coming. He doesn't specify. He just says, I'm coming in the night. Like a thief in the night, I'm going to return. It may be in the evening. It may be at midnight. It may be at the cock crowing. It may be in the morning. Amen. You don't know. Get ready while you can. Are you with me, church? Get ready. Don't let that day catch you unaware. He said, if the good men of the house would have known what hour in which the thief would have broke in, he would have stayed up. He'd have watched. He would have been sleeping. He's saying that's the way it's going to be when I return. I'm going to be like a thief in the night. When I come, I'm not going to set off the alarm. When I come, you're not going to hear me trying to break in. I'm just going to come like that. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye.
Right.
Amen. To you that are not saved, get ready. The Lord's coming back.
Amen.
And to you that are saved, stay ready. Amen.
Yes.
Stay in God's safe place. Amen. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't compromise. Amen. Stay with God. Amen. Never let go. I got a story for you. And you're going to probably laugh. But I was pulling my boy, Brother Bobby, on his little sled the other day. Brother Anthony was there. Amen. I was pulling him with the four-wheeler. And he was on that sled. And we come down the side of the hill. And he was hanging on. And that thing got to moving mighty fast. It rolled over. Amen. I'm watching him. And it rolled all the way back over. And he was still hanging on. And it went right back on its belly. And he kept on going. And he looked at me. I mean, just as serious as could be. He said, "Daddy, never let go." Amen. Never let go. Oh, that'll preach right there. Life may throw you a turn. Amen. Life may roll you over. Amen. Right. Life may try to knock you off. But never let go. Because the Lord's a coming. Hallelujah. I said Jesus is coming. And I want to be ready when he comes. I want to make sure my heart's right. I want to make sure I'm living holy and pure. Amen. I want to make sure I'm trusting him. Never let go, saint. He said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. The Bible's last message, a divine invitation. A divine invitation. Amen. Come. Come unto me, y'all. Divine warning. Don't take them. Don't cut away. Don't dissect. If you don't understand it, like it's been said several times, don't disregard it.
Right.
You set it up there and you say, "Lord, I don't understand this, but if you'll show me, I'll take it.
Right.
If you'll show me how to live it,
right,
I'll apply it.
Yes.
I don't understand right now, but if you'll show me, I'll..." Don't add to it. Do not add to it. I tell you the fault of the Pharisees of that day. They would overextend what God said in one area. And then they would disregard in the other. Was it not in that same place? Maybe not, I can't remember. Maybe when they was talking about washing their hands. Jesus might have, I can't remember. Somebody may know. He says, you require this. But then when it concerns taking care of your mom and daddy, you say, well, because, and there was a word they used. He said, but because, you say, well, because this money that I have, I'm going to put it toward the work of God. So, mom, dad, you're on your own. Y'all remember reading that? You overextend one law. You require more out of men than what I require. But then when I'm telling you to honor your parents, not only when you're young, but when they're older and they can't take care of themselves, don't stick them in a rest home somewhere. Take care of them. Ain't that what he was saying? Amen. If you're able to, if it's possible, amen, do everything you can to honor them in their own. Amen. You let this go and you require more out of them. Don't add to and don't take away. And then he says, don't forget, I'm still coming back. I'm still coming back. If you're not ready, get ready. If you are ready, stay ready, because I am coming back. I wonder, would you like to pray this morning? Hey, let's all gather around the altar and seek the Lord for a season of prayer. Everybody that can and will. Saints of God, let's ask God to help us. If you're not saved this morning, this altar's open to you. This altar's open to you. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Oh, yes, there's a divine invitation. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that hears say come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The price has been paid. All you have to do is come. Get a drink. Saints of God, be encouraged. Saints of God, stay with him. Never let go. Never let go. Never let go. The Lord is coming. Amen. He said his reward is with him. To give to every man according as his work shall be. Oh, he said, if you'll stay in my unchanging hand. He said, I've got a reward for you.
On the next day to find their loved one raptured away.